I've been loving reading about Lady M. We're going to hear more about her now. We're going to speak to Colin Brown. Good afternoon, Colin. How are you?
Hi, Dave. I'm absolutely fine, thanks a lot. Very exciting in London with the Prime Minister losing two cabinet ministers. It's just the sort of thing that Lady M would have loved.
I was just going to say the very same to you, Colin. Just as I was reading about her earlier on, the news was breaking, and then as I'm talking to you now, the live in the Commons, and it feels like this story of Lady M couldn't be more apt, I suppose, than right now what's going on in politics. And I found her such a fascinating person. Didn't know much about her, I'll be honest, Colin, beforehand.
Yeah. Well, had she been alive today, she would have been organising a reception tonight where all the top challengers for the leadership would have been meeting her around a dinner table, yeah. And they would have been plotting for the removal of the Prime Minister and trying to elect a new leader. She was that sort of networker. She was also incredibly rich, and she would have there was a racy side to Elizabeth as well, Lady Melbourne, and it has to be said that she'd probably be seen today a bit like Paris Hilton, incredibly rich and always in the gossip columns.
What's her background? Which family does she come from, and why is she in this position that she's in?
Well, this is what I had to research, because you're quite right, very few people know her. They all know Georgiana, the Duchess of Devonshire, yeah. Who was of contemporary. But if anything, Elizabeth Milbank, who became Lady Melbourne, was the bright one of the two. Georgiana was fantastically famous at the time for leading the fashions. She was the one who started this fashion for hair that was built up high. Sometimes it even had boats floating around in the hair. It was piled so high. That was not Elizabeth's style. The most she would do would be to wear very long feathers in her hair. Yeah. But she came from a Yorkshire family, very rooted and regarded as an old traditional family. In fact, they ran a stud where they bred racehorses, so they weren't badly off.
Yeah.
But at 17, she was involved in an arranged marriage with an incredibly rich man about town who already had a string of mistresses. And he wanted respectability, so he wanted to marry Elizabeth Milbank, this girl from Yorkshire, in order to produce an heir for himself. And he thought that that would be, the end of it, that she would be under the thumb, she would produce the children, and he would carry on as a gay bachelor, in effect. She had other ideas.
Yeah.
She was a very, very strong woman, and after doing her duty by producing an heir, she had affairs of her own, and that's where the story gets really interesting.
Yeah, she's not. She's certainly not one of your stay-at-home mums, is she? She's not.
I discovered that she had six children, and only one was known to be by her husband.
Yes.
She was quite a strong woman, and these were the days when women didn't have a role in politics. They had a role in organising parties and balls and waltz parties, but they didn't have a role in politics. She took a role.
Yeah.
They weren't allowed even to go into the chamber of the House of Commons and look from the public gallery. Women weren't allowed to do that. They weren't allowed to vote. She was a fixer. She became one of the great networkers of her age.
Yeah.
She was also, I think, it's difficult to draw parallels, but also I think she was pretty Eurosceptic at a time when a lot of her dinner guests were supporting Napoleon and were actually in favour of the reform of the system that led to the downfall of monarchies right across Europe. She was not in favour of that at all. And she was very prescient. She understood that if you go for revolution, you go for bloodshed.
Yeah.
And she was very much on the side of law and order. She had her feet planted firmly on the ground, which made her, among men, very judgment very seriously accepted. I mean, they rated her enormously.
Yeah.
And Byron, who met her in her later years, was won over by her and described her as the best friend I ever had in my life and the cleverest of women.
And was noted it, for, Sorry. And was there was a little bit of talk about whether he actually ever had an affair with her or not? Was that right?
Well, that's right. I mean, what happened was that she had these six children, and her second son William was to become one of the outstanding figures of the next generation, the Victorian period. He became Queen Victoria's first Prime Minister, the one that Queen Victoria was almost in love with. William's problem was that he married this, again, wild society girl called Lady Caroline Lamb.
Yeah.
And she was a loyal wife for some years, but then started to have her own affairs, and in 1812... Byron walked into their lives, stumbled into their lives when he was climbing a staircase to a waltzing party she'd organised, and they fell in love.
Uh-huh.
And they broke all the rules by having their affair in public. And she deserted her husband, and Lady Melbourne was furious with her.
Mm.
And as a mother-in-law, she was not a person to cross.
No.
And as part of the research, I had to dig out the letters that Lady Melbourne had sent to Lady Caroline Lamb, and they still burned with anger. And what happened was that in order to get Byron out of her life, Lady Melbourne then got close to Byron, and as part of her way of arranging things, she persuaded Byron to actually marry her own niece. Now, she did this and knowing that Byron had fathered a child by his own half-sister. And she ignored that and made sure that he married this niece called Annabella Milbank. And it was an absolute disaster. But as far as Lady Melbourne was concerned, she had got Byron out of her son's marriage, and that was what she wanted most of all. She was criticised for being too much of a conspiracy theorist and being quite evil at times.
It just makes, I mean, I love watching House of Cards. It kind of feels a little bit House of Cards-esque, doesn't it? And the kind of the way, the underhandedness and the scheming, it would make a great TV series, that's for sure.
Well, it would. Lady Caroline Lamb, the story of her and William, her husband, and Lord Byron, that made a blockbuster movie in the early 70s called Lady Caroline Lamb. And I was amazed that, you get to a certain age where you think people know these things. Nobody can remember Lady Caroline Lamb. It certainly would make a great movie.
Absolutely.
But it was also played out with all these, wonderful backdrops of beautiful houses, everybody's in crinoline and lace, and the great thing about it is that it was before the Victorian period, and in the Regency period they had completely different morals. So men knew their wives would be having an affair, often with their friends. And if their wives produced children who weren't their own, they would accept them.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the elite who were running Britain. But like Lady Melbourne, I mean, the great love of her life was Lord Egremont, who owned Petworth House, which is a great, sumptuous mansion in the south of England. And he was a patron of the arts, and he was personally responsible for paying the bills for Turner. And
wow.
He had so much money, paying for all his bastard children didn't matter. So I went down to Petworth and said to, it's a National Trust building, and said to one of the guides, is it true that Lord Egremont had 40 bastard children? And she said, oh, no, we think he had 47.
Oh, my days, wow.
Well, it was probably more than that. And
wow.
I found out that Lord Egremont was probably the father of William Lamb, who her second son, who became the Prime Minister of England.
Well, when you were there, was there a lot of people that looked similar around? I was wondering whether the outcome of his sowing of wild oats, whether it's had an impact on the area or not. But anyway.
Well, certainly William looks like Lord Egremont. Everybody said so, and that's how they knew, because, you know, these things are very unofficial. But her fourth son, George, was undoubtedly fathered by Prince George, the Prince of Wales, who became the fat and very fun-loving regency prince, the Prince Regent. And Emily was her oldest daughter, married Lord Palmerston, a second marriage.
Yeah.
And Lord Palmerston became the great Victorian statesman of the period, and is alleged to have died at Brockett Hall while engaged on a billiard table with a member of staff.
Oh, my. It all went on, didn't it? It just seems, you know, I don't know how much you went into her personality, whether she was a charming lady or not. It just appears to me, from an outsider's point of view, she's one of these characters that she does things and scheming and some horrible things, but if you put her in a soap, she would be the one that you'd like to watch the most.
Oh, she was undoubtedly. She was a. It's been said that she was a man's woman. That she understood men. She was completely unlike Georgiana, who was as I said, more famous. Georgiana was gushing, and she was actually somewhat in awe of Lady Melbourne, and she used to refer to Lady Melbourne as Lady Sem. When she wrote letters, they were addressed to Lady Sem, which is shorthand for the Greek goddess of justice. Uh-huh. And she didn't want to cross Lady Melbourne because she had a very vicious tongue, and that was picked up by Sheridan, the playwright, in School for Scandal, and who portrayed Lady Melbourne in the play as somebody who was, you know, had this vicious tongue about them. And she could be quite vicious, but also she was incredibly entertaining.
Yeah.
And she used to hold these dinner parties for the politicians, and they listened to her good common sense. And I found a letter from Lord Grey, who also became a prime minister. And Grey was apologising profusely for talking up Napoleon around her dinner table and supporting revolution in France. You know, he was a hothead in his younger years. And she'd obviously torn him off the strip, saying that she wouldn't have that sort of talk around her dinner table. So she really ruled the roost.
Well, I think what really, for me, kind of really sums her up is the fact, like you say, the way in which Lord Byron was treated by her and some of the things he had to deal with and the letters you were saying, you know, were still set the place on fire now. But to say that, I'll mention that quote again, the best friend I ever had in my life and the cleverest of women. That, to me, says that she's not two-dimensional in the slightest, that even though she's really kind of gone at him, there's this admiration still there. It's amazing.
Oh, yes, enormous admiration. And you've got to remember that we were dealing in a period when the elite, around about 600 families, that's all, who were landed aristocrats. She was not from an aristocratic family. When she married Sir Penistone Lamb, this young get-rich-quick guy who suddenly inherited this wealth, he was hugely wealthy. At 23 years of age, she was just 17.
Yeah.
He had inherited a massive sum, £500,000 in cash then.
Wow.
With estates, two country estates, Melbourne Hall in Derbyshire.
Yeah, no, well, Brockett
Hall.
Yeah.
Brockett Hall in Hertfordshire. It's reckoned that together they were worth £1 million. That, today, would translate to well over £125 million. He was 23 with £125 million to spend.
Dear.
And most of their friends got into trouble gambling. Well, Elizabeth was not a great gambler. She didn't gamble the money away. She just spent it on luxuries.
Listen, I could be chatting to you all afternoon about her. She's a fascinating person. She really is. And I think you may have a film on your hands here, that's for sure, Colin.
Let's hope so.
yeah. Well, I think if Lady M was involved, she would have had a film a long time ago. It really is fascinating. The book's available. Unfortunately, we're out of time. We've got to go and get some business news and so on. It's so apt for today. It really is. Really is. The book is available if you go to our website, tre.radio. Click on the bookshop banner. You can order the book that way. It's called, Lady M, The Life and Loves of Elizabeth Lamb, Viscountess of Melbourne. And I'm actually from Derby itself, so it's not far away from that big stately home in Melbourne, that's for sure. It sounds
you
like
ought to go. You ought to go. You know, it's the reason why Melbourne in Australia is called Melbourne.
Is that right? I knew there was a link. Oh, yeah. I didn't know about the house there. Wow. Yeah. Fantastic.
Well, it's the title, and Lord Melbourne was the Prime Minister when they named the city.
Oh, right. Wow. There we are. Wow. Thank you very much for your time. Really appreciate it this afternoon, Colin, and I wish you all the very best of the book. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks very much, Dave.
Cheers. Bye-bye now.
Cheers.